Welcome into the Big O Show with the 7-time Pro Bowler, the Hall of Famer, Orlando Pace, Martin Kilcoin with you, the Big O Show, a Christmas edition. Orlando, as we sit here, Christmas Eve, about to be the holidays. Give me an idea at the Pace household. Kids are a little older now, but I would think over the years, Christmas was sort of tough because you guys always either had a game the next day or 2 days later, or the middle of the week. What was Christmas like for you as a player?
It was always tough. It was an exciting time, obviously, when you're winning, because you know, obviously, people, you know, you get a lot of family that's coming in town and things like that. During some of those tough seasons, it was a little tough because you were looking forward to Christmas, at least to bring a smile on your face and really be thankful for your family and the people that surround you. And then, you know, obviously, once you start having kids, the Christmas starts to be exciting for me, because I could always, you know, I would always go, you know, shopping for gifts that I liked as a kid and try to get my children to enjoy those same gifts. So a little different now because they are older, but, you know, it's always a great time of year just to celebrate and really enjoy the holiday with family.
I would think as a player, it sort of sucks because let's say Christmas was on a Saturday and you're hosting the Lions on Sunday or whatever. And you're like, man, I want to have a couple of Jack and Cokes. I want to have a couple of steaks. It'd be a tough week. And then again, it's late in the year, so it's crunch time. It could be an important big time game. It's not that it would ruin the holiday, but the timing is bad. If you're an NFL player, Christmas just kind of falls at the worst time.
Yeah, it does. You know, obviously we still have a job to do, you know, obviously when you look at it. So we would probably some days I remember going to practice and practicing that day or, you know, early that day and just running home and just trying to enjoy those, you know, the Christmas spirit or opening gifts and things like that. So it's just part of the job. You know, obviously they compensate as well. So working on Christmas or being prepared or preparation during the Christmas break is part of what we do as athletes, what we did as athletes. So it kind of came with the territory, you know, hopefully just, you know, you know, buy better gifts. It gives you, affords you the right to buy better gifts so your wife and kids are a little happier as well. So
at Rams Park, they had a gift shop upstairs. Georgia Frontier. I don't know how many people knew this, but you could go upstairs at Rams Park, and it was more of a boutique, I would say, with sort of, you know, fancier items and a lot of maybe some jewelry. Did you ever shop at the Huddle upstairs, like Georgia's little shop, just out of convenience?
You know what? I think my wife did. I think she, we have Christmas ornaments, like really fancy Rams Christmas ornaments that doesn't look like it deserves to be on our tree, but they're really nice, high-end Christmas Ram ornaments, which is pretty cool. But yeah, it was a boutique, and I didn't know it was up there for years. And, you know, you kind of walk in there, you're like, wow, this is, you know, this is a lot
weird.
Of Ram.
It was
a little weird. It was a little weird.
You know? Right. It's actually brilliant by Georgia. She's paying you guys millions of dollars, and she sets up a gift shop with expensive items right upstairs so that families could go shopping and spend some of that money she was giving you.
Hey, needless to say, it was right next to where you go pick your check up, too. So, obviously, you go pick your check up. Hey, you want some Rams gear for your family? Hey, stop through and pick it up. But it was kind of in the back corner of the building, but only players and staff knew it was back there. So, you know.
It's all part of the weirdness of Rams Park. I got to tell you, cutting through these hallways upstairs, I'm like, what is that? And they're like, oh, that's the boutique. I'm like, the boutique? what about as a kid? You know, everybody always says, oh, I'll never forget when I was 7, I got a bicycle or it was a red wagon under the tree. For whatever reason, I can't remember specific gifts or whatever. But was there ever a Big O moment where they said, you know, they got you the autographed helmet or, you know, whatever? Like, is there one that stands out when you were a kid?
Yeah, I think there was a time in my life where I thought I was going to be a BMX or skateboarder guy. I was going through that phase in my like early, you know, 10, 11, 12. And I had this dirt bike that I liked that was probably white and lavender and had lavender mag wheels. And I thought I was going to be the next Tony Hawk or whoever it was. Right. So, and I didn't think I was going to get it because it was really expensive. And, I remember waking up that morning, seeing it next to the Christmas tree, and thinking, "Man, this is the best life ever." So that's my one gift that I've always remembered. I know it was a pretty tough ask for my family, but they pulled through. So I remember that bike probably because it was white and lavender, and I one of the coolest gifts I've ever received.
You may have been the biggest BMXer had you stuck with it. Like, I think at some point size may have been a hindrance to those dreams, right?
Oh, absolutely. I'm out there in the snow in Ohio trying to work on BMX tricks and trying to figure this thing out. And then obviously you realize your height. You couldn't get vertical on some of those BMX bikes because your weight's weighing you down or your legs are too long. But it was pretty cool, needless to say, just to kind of, the phases of life. You go back and you kind of laugh at those things. Like, dude, how did I think I was going to be like a BMX guy or a skateboarder or something like that? And I'm 6'7", 300 pounds. You know what I mean? So it's crazy when you think of it. But it's just the phases of childhood and the dreams that we all have, right?
Well, we might need to dust off a picture of the Big O on his on his dirt bike.
On my dirt bike, absolutely.
Rolling through the streets of Sandusky. Unfortunately, this week we had the sad news with Kevin Green's passing, which was very sudden and shocking. And, the football world knew him. But I was wondering, even as it was announced or came out, a guy like you who went into the Hall of Fame with him in the summer of 2016, I've always wondered whether it's Cooperstown for baseball or Canton for football, when you're part of that class, I'm guessing you spend a ton of time together on the circuit and lunches or banquets, whatever. How well did you know him before that summer? And how much as a classmate in the Hall of Fame do you get close?
Well, during our playing career, and I know Kevin, he was a little older than me, and he played us. So I remember playing him a couple times early on in my career. And then he was in his coaching career. He actually coached in Macomb with our team. One training camp, I remember he was around a lot, just getting into coaching. But I was fortunate enough to meet Kevin and probably hang out with him and be in the circle a little bit more because we were going through that Hall of Fame process together. Obviously. And then, when you're in a class with the guys, you, to your point, you're always on the circuit. You're always kind of hanging out and you become really good friends just going through that process. We get to know his family. He got to know our family. And it's the weirdest thing. We're probably just this past year, we did Family Feud together. So we're sitting out having breakfast and just talking about life. And believe it or not, in July, he called me during this whole pandemic. And Kevin's always a student of the game. And it tells a little bit about himself, but his son plays college football and he just wanted some insight on like what offensive tackles try to do to defensive linemen. And both he and his son were on the phone as I'm explaining, what guys were thinking in certain situations, but it really just spoke to who he was a really solid guy. We always talked about, him growing up or going to high school in Granite City. And I was over there and I'm like, dude, you're the man over there. Cause my son had a basketball tournament over there. So we probably talked or text or, our communication, just being in the hall and that small group of men that's in there. And then it gets even smaller because it's your classmates. But it was really sad news to hear. He was a great man, loved his family, loved the game of football, and loved being in the Hall of Fame. So he'll definitely be missed in that regard.
Yeah, and the football field at Granite City is named after him. And I was reading up more, and we did a little bit that summer because, as you said, he's from Granite City. So when you were going in, we also did some stuff on him, having some local ties. But just reading even more the other day, I didn't realize he was a walk-on at Auburn. And then and it ends up being the SEC Player of the Year. I'm like, that just doesn't happen. That's like the movie Rudy or something, like a walk-on at Auburn. And then you're the SEC Player of the Year. And on top of that, there's only two Auburn players in Canton. That surprised me. Doesn't that sound weird?
It does sound weird to you. It does. And Kevin, that explains who he is as a man. It's how hard he worked to get to where he is, undrafted, at Auburn to play, and then all these great things, and then cap it off with the Hall of Fame career is extraordinary. Just in terms of what he was able to accomplish during football, and pretty special man. Glad I got a chance to meet him and be around him. But 50, he's young, so he'll be missed.
The Big O Show with Orlando Pace. Let's look at NFL Week 16. And actually, the featured game on Fox is going to be the Rams at Seattle. Not surprising, really, that that division would come down to those two. Seahawks with a one-game lead, although the Rams beat Seattle first time around. And I guess anytime you see a matchup with Seattle, you just start thinking about Russell Wilson. And I don't know how – and the quarterback's obviously the key to every team. But I feel like there's a lot – like every Seattle win is somehow because Russell did something amazing. I don't know how many teams are as dependent on one guy. And they've got weapons at DK Metcalf. He's a monster. But it just seems like if Russell's on, the Seahawks are on. And is it more true there than with other teams?
I think you hit it right on the head. I think you know what Russell does and what he's been able to do in terms of that team, and it seems like he carries that entire team. They go, you know, if he's playing well, they probably have a good chance of winning. But he has it figured out. He's smooth. He runs when he has to run, and he throws the ball extremely well. Has limited weapons. I know he has some young guys, and you mentioned DK Metcalf. But you know they have to outscore people. And you know, obviously they got Jamal Adams on the back end, and I think he was a great addition to Seattle. Should be a really good game this weekend. I just don't know what Rams team is going to show up. Being a fan and watching them week in and week out, it's sometimes tough to watch just because, you know, obviously, you know, you lose to the Jets, which they probably shouldn't have lost, but, you know, they'll be a good team like a Seattle team or something like that. So I'm not sure if the league's figuring them out, if Jared Goff is having an up and down year or, you know, what's going on. But, you know, obviously it should be, you know, it's always going to come down to these two teams in Seattle and the Rams out west. Arizona's creeping up. They're playing really good football right now. So it'll be interesting to watch. Should be a good game. But to your point, what Russell Wilson is doing week in and week out to carry that team, you just hope that he stays healthy or that team doesn't stand a chance.
Did you like the trips to Seattle? I'm thinking over the years, you probably even played something. They were at Husky Stadium for a couple of years waiting for the new stadium to be built. And that's a long way to go. And for a minute there, the Rams, Seahawks, that was a pretty good rivalry with Mike Holmgren and maybe Hasselbeck and kind of around like, well, you had the playoff game.